The scandal that has forced Attorney General Eric Schneiderman to resign has created a storm of outrage, accusation, and political gamesmanship. Jimmy Vielkind of Politico's Albany Bureau joined us earlier this morning to provide some perspective. At the top, a breakdown of the maneuvering involved in finding a replacement for the Attorney General.
Well, we're still waiting to see exactly what parameters and exactly when there will be a joint session called for the state Senate, which has 63 members, and the Democrat-dominated state assembly, which has 150. As of last night, officials were still trying to work that out, and we're still trying to think up some sort of a joint vetting process where candidates who are interested could be somehow publicly considered, perhaps at a meeting, perhaps at a hearing. We could hear what they had to say. And you're absolutely right, Jay, that immediately we started to see a bunch of names, mostly from downstate areas and mostly from New York City. Congresswoman Kathleen Rice seems interested in launching a bid. She ran for attorney general in 2010 and lost by a few points to Eric Schneiderman. New York City public advocate Letitia James, who has been tight-lipped about her intentions, she's thought to be perhaps considering a bid and has a leg up in both the legislative appointment under state law. The combined houses of the legislature make an appointment to fill a vacancy in the office of attorney general, but then also going through to the November election. People have to remember that the political calendar starts pretty soon. We have party conventions in 2 weeks. Candidates will start campaigning in earnest over the summer. There will be a primary election in September, and then there will be a general election in November. So the appointment is a little bit less significant this time around just because of the calendar and the clock and exactly where we are. And as you alluded to, Jay, there has been a call from some, including some party leaders and including some sitting legislators, that we should have a woman fill this office. Men have occupied the state attorney general's slot for more than 200 years. And as we are speaking right now, Barbara Underwood, who was the solicitor general, is the acting attorney general and is the first woman ever to be the New York State Attorney General.
You know, Politico had a really interesting story regarding a battle that's going on between the governor's office and the Manhattan District Attorney's office. The governor announcing a special prosecutor to investigate the Schneiderman story. What are the concerns over the governor having control of this issue?
Well, the governor is said that he doesn't want there to be any question with whatever investigation takes place. And he notes that there was a back and forth going on between the state attorney general and the New York County or the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr. Cuomo had asked Schneiderman, or as we should now think of it as Cuomo had asked the office of the New York State Attorney General, to investigate Vance over his handling of allegations of sexual misconduct by the film producer Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein in Manhattan was taped having an altercation and an interaction with an Italian model. Members of the New York Police Department wanted to bring charges. Vance never did. Cuomo, using Schneiderman as a designee, was sort of pushing on that in the context of the Me Too movement. So the thinking was that there was some bad blood between Vance and the Office of Attorney General. And last night, Cuomo named Nassau County District Attorney Madeline Singus as a special prosecutor to look into the Schneiderman affair. Vance said he was doing so anyway. The Suffolk County District Attorney said he was also doing so. That's on Long Island. So now we have a potential situation where there are three district attorneys looking into what's going on. They're not going to necessarily work together. And Vance, according to a letter he sent last night to the governor, is very upset. He says that Cuomo is overreaching, that he is breaking and breaching a set separation of powers where there are elected officials at the county level charged with law enforcement, and that he suggested Cuomo's actions might be politically motivated.
You know, we look at the New Yorker story, and there are a lot of disturbing incidents reported in that story. Obviously, Mr. Schneiderman allegedly hitting and spitting on these women, but there was also this implication that he was the law. I think that was even a quote that was in that particular article, the implication that he could use his position as the top law enforcement official to potentially add harm to these victims. You know, Albany, and I don't want to sound naive here, but can an attorney general really access the state's legal system to cause damage to a private citizen?
what people need to realize is that while there is an elected attorney general, Schneiderman, before him, Andrew Cuomo, before him, Elliot Spitzer, the attorney general's office has more than 1,000 employees and has more than 700 lawyers. They are career public servants for the most part. They are not involved in politics. And the work that they are doing is going to continue despite what's going on at the top of the office. So I don't know if Eric Schneiderman had those powers. He, as a law enforcement officer, is sworn and does have broad authority to do different things. And he does have investigative powers that he personally must be aware of certain things. Like he can make decisions about what charges to bring, what subpoenas to file, et cetera, et cetera. But was Eric Schneiderman able to order a phone to be tapped without any good cause? I don't think so. And moreover, I don't think that the wonderful men and women who worked in that office would have gone along with it without asking some very serious questions.
And most certainly is a reassuring answer to that, for sure, because that was probably one of the more chilling elements of that story. And then just finally, you know, just how what you have taken from this. Obviously, once this broke, you've been busy working on this, but just to, you know, put it in perspective to us that this attorney general who was so involved with the Me Too movement to be charged with these types of allegations, what do you take from it?
It's a stunning, stunning reversal. And you're right, Jay, to sort of try and take it to that higher level. I spoke yesterday with a man named Danny O'Donnell. He's an assembly member from the Upper West Side of Manhattan, not very far from where Schneiderman lives, and has interacted in political circles with Schneiderman for the better part of two decades. He said that Schneiderman is the crown prince of progressive politics. He was leading the charge at reproductive rights galas. He was a liberal darling. And to see the contradictions be so severely baked is frankly just stunning. It's stunning to people who knew Eric Schneiderman or who know Eric Schneiderman. It's stunning to his political colleagues. It's stunning to officials in New York. And frankly, I'm sure it's stunning to men and women just reading the news back home. It should be.
Jimmy Vielkind is with Politico's Albany Bureau and gives us some perspective this morning on the story of Eric Schneiderman. A lot to come here. And thank you very much for your time this morning, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jay. Always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.